lesson today in Ezekiel chapter 1. We're going to try to wrap it up today of this chapter, verse 15 through 21, then 25 through 28. We've skipped around in the book of in the chapter 1 and the different lessons on there, trying to put everything together when we talked about the creatures, about the wheels, and so on, those involved in this. So today we're going to be dealing with the matter of the wheels and of God talking to Ezekiel. So Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 15, "Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with its four faces." Now we've already discussed this in the past, how that they have a firmament, the creatures do, a helmet over their head. They cannot breathe our atmosphere, nor whether or not they can speak the language that Ezekiel understood or not. We don't know, because they do not speak to Ezekiel. They don't talk to him at all on this. And so now, as we've looked at these creatures, they have four wings. They do not flap like a bird. They're stabilized. And then the noise of the wings, and is like that of a jet engine. The lightning coming out or fire coming out and so on, and they move around, and then there's a wheel by each one of these. So question one, the living creatures had one
wheel
by each of them. Now, in the matter of the wheel, this has been, I've seen a lot of pictures on this, and we'll be looking at this as to the description of what is involved with them. They'll draw mostly the pictures that are drawn on it is that they put a wheel in the wheel. Middle of a wheel is like a globe or a sphere. It doesn't have any sides to it. So that disqualifies that particular illustration there on that. But in verse 16, it said the appearance of the wheel and the work was like the color of a beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and the work was, it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And so you've got a wheel, and then you have a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And so you've got if we were looking at a tire on an automobile, it'd be the hubcap. That'd be kind of like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. But this is what he was seeing or describing that was there, and that the way that God would have him to describe this and write it down. So question two, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Now we know of this, that the wheel had to be of such a design that the spirit, that they were those who are on the outside had people on the inside that was controlling them. And so they were people that were inside. This was not a small wheel. It was a huge thing that was involved with them. And as you can see here in the illustration on the monitor, a wheel in the middle of a wheel, normally you have a wheel going on its rim, not on its side. And so those terms we need to be familiar with in dealing with this. And you'll see some of the illustrations given. They'll have the wheel on their rim instead of on their side. Now, in verse 17, when they went up on their four sides, and they turned not when they went. So they didn't turn on the rim like a wheel would normally turn. Whether it be a wagon wheel, a chariot wheel, or anything else that runs on its rim, not on the side. But these wheels went on their four sides. And so this is, and then they did not spin. Normally when a wheel moves on the rim, it will spin or rotate as it goes involved with that. So question three, the wheel went on its side and turned not as it went. And so you see the illustration here on the monitor of the wheel. This is on its rim, not on its side. And if you look at it on its rim, like normally would, this is the wheel. This is the wheel in the middle of it, like we would have on an automobile or something of the hubcap or whatever involved with it. But on that, normally it would roll as it would go. So it did not turn, it did not spin in that, and it went on its side. And so this is important as we look at this and see what is involved with it. And so the wheel in the middle of a wheel, the side is this part of it, the rim, which is called here in the scriptures as the rings. It did not go on that, but it went on its side. Any question about that?
So being that the case, would that have to involve a magnetic field?
Do what?
Would that have to involve a magnetic field?
Well, I don't know if it's magnetic or not, but they were able to overcome gravity. You have fire coming out of this and this roar on this on the wheel, just as you do with the wings. And so it'd be like any aircraft hovering above the earth or involved with that. But they were able to stay above our gravity and move within our atmosphere in that light. So whether it's magnet or whether it was something else that they used to do that, just as we do going in outer space. So verse 18, as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and the rings were full of eyes around about them four. Now the rings you have here, that's talked about the, would be the rim around the wheel, and full of eyes. These are holes that are involved in it. They're not big enough to be called windows, as you'd have in this part where the spirits were, that was inside the wheels controlling those on the outside. And so now, again, these living creatures and spirits are part of the heavenly hosts, principalities and powers, and they cannot breathe our atmosphere. God sends them to the earth. They're not here on vacation. They're not here to shake things out. They're here as God has sent them for a special purpose that is there. As I mentioned before, and we'll mention again, we're not the only fish in the pond, say, on this part. So question four, the rings were so large that they were dreadful. Now, this was not a small object that was there, a wheel. It was a large wheel, large enough to contain people inside as well as to control and to move about in our atmosphere. Now, in verse 19, and when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. When the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. And so they moved in unison. They moved together, the wheels of the creature on the outside. You had one creature by each wheel representing that wheel that is there. So question five, the living creatures and wheels moved together. So they were not independent of each other. Now the wheels were independent of each other, but each wheel had a creature by it, or each creature had a wheel by it, whichever way you want to look at it. But as we'll see in a moment, this is what Ezekiel saw, this cloud with fire enfold itself, and then out of the cloud came these wheels with the living creature by. Now, this would be quite an event to see. These weren't lights. Now, the cloud had the fire within it, but these he saw in detail. What people see today that they call UFOs, unidentified flying objects, are usually blurred lights or something out there that you really can't make out the details of. I noticed a video on the newscast of one of our planes that went down and out in the ocean. And now there's a rush to who's going to get there first to get it. Involved in that, but as it showed it going down, it looked like at an angle coming down like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And so as you look at aircraft at a distance, it can have all kinds of shape, different from this, depending on what angle you're looking at it on. Well, here, this was close enough he could see the details of it and know what was there. This would be more frightening in a sense, or get his attention more so than just some lights bouncing around or whatever else you might have out on that people are looking at and seeing in them. Now, when the wheels moved, the creatures moved with them. Or when the creatures moved, the wheels moved with them. They moved together. Each creature, each wheel and each creature was together in going across this and dealing with what God had them to do. So if you saw them moving around like this, that would be something else. He's never seen a plane. He's never seen anything fly except a bird. And these wings were not described as eagle's wings or wings of a dove as some of the other visions were, of any animal. They were straight wings. They were stiff. They were, but the noise of the wings, they didn't move when they flew. And but you had a noise of a great water. Same thing with the wheels on that. And so this was quite an event for Ezekiel. Now, why in the world did God record this at the very beginning of Ezekiel and have this to deal with Ezekiel? Now, Ezekiel is a priest. He's a priest that would serve in the temple. He wasn't a high priest. He was one that was drafted. At a certain age, he became a priest. At a certain age, he ceased to be a priest. He knew something about God in that he knew about the different offerings that was offered at the tabernacle, at the temple. And so whether it was a sin offering or a thanksgiving offering, and he would, his duty was to prepare that offering. The person that brought the animal could not kill it, could not sacrifice it. The priest did that. And so that's his position to begin with. He's not a prophet. He's not a preacher in that line. He's just a priest. And now what God is going to reveal to him about the Jewish people and about what's happening to them, how would the people know and how faithful would he be in doing that? Well, God just sends a message, not by an angel. Nowhere in the book of Ezekiel do they have the word angel mentioned. He sends four living creatures with four wheels to him. Now, that'll get your attention right away. He realized that he was serving the God of the cosmos, not just the God of an earth or all that. And so in verse 20, whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So you've got something in the wheels that's alive that controls that which is outside on them. Now, he doesn't have any communication with that on the inside. He doesn't see them inside, yet he knows there's life inside the wheel, and it controls the creatures on the outside that doesn't speak to him. They have a firmament over their head, and they can't breathe our atmosphere. So question six, the creatures inside the wheels control the living creatures outside the wheels. So now get the picture and get the meaning of it, of this control that is there and what's going on with this that Ezekiel is seeing. And so the spirit, as it's called, which is life, you have it, the spirit in the wheel. And he knew that this had control over the spirit outside of the wheel or the creature outside. And so the spirit here controlled each one of the those inside each wheel controlled the one on the outside and gave orders as to what direction he would go, whether they'd move here or there, up or down, or which way they would be involved with that. So the ones inside the wheels control the ones outside the wheels. Now in verse 21, when those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Again, this is brought out and emphasized. He knew this, and it's very obvious in dealing with it. And then in verse 25, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and let down their wings. Now, these four living creatures, when one of them stood, came to the earth and stood by the wheel, a voice came from the firmament, not from the face or the one inside, but from the firmament. And when they stood, they let down their wings. Now we know their wings were straight. Florida had two. You had one wing here and one here that were together on each side. These two covered this side of the body. These two covered that side. Fire came out. The roaring noise came out. And so when the living creatures stood, they let down the wings. They turned off the jet engines. Now watch how they let down the wings. As you'll notice the monitor, the wings just folded down, or folded up. So when the living creatures stood, they let down their wings. Now we saw last week the jet wings that we have today, and where they can fly in those, and where they can land and take off and land, but they haven't developed where they can fold them in. That will come later. This technology was far more than what we even have today, what was going on with Ezekiel. And heavenly host from another planet was far more advanced than anything we've even got today. But they're controlled by God. They were sent here to deliver a message to God. And so, and then verse 20, there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and let down their wings. So question eight, a voice which said, Son of Man. A voice spoke from the firmament. And so you have something similar to this. This is not an exact replica, but fairly close to give you an idea what was there, whether it was in this type of shape, a V shape, or whether it produced a screen. But there's a stone on the top of this firmament. We'll see it in chapter 10. And from that went up a colored screen. And on that screen, we'll see what is there on that. So as we look at this, so above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. The likeness of a throne. I get that. As the appearance of a sapphire stone, and the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man upon it. Now, the word likeness, what does that mean? Similar. Not exactly, but similar. There were other things about it that he couldn't describe. And so, how it was, but it looked like could be a throne or a man, or that was there, the appearance like a man upon it. And so this screen went up, and then on this screen, as we'll see in a moment what that looked like, you had this likeness of a throne upon it. And on this throne was the appearance of a man on the throne. This was all above their helmet, their firmament that was over their heads. So question nine, the likeness of a throne was right above the firmament that was over their heads. Now I show, and just to give it here, like a throne that's there and somebody sitting on a throne, which would be God in this sense, sitting on it. But how that looked and what shape it was in, what design it had, we have no idea. That's why it says a likeness. We would look at something like that, but it was a throne, a seat that one sat in, that a place of authority in which you would speak. This is what John saw when he went to heaven and the book of Revelation. Now in verse 27, it said, I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about it within. From the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw it was the appearance of fire and had brightness round about it. So around this throne in the background was the color of amber and had the appearance of fire round about it, had a red tent in matter of it, as from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of the loin even downward, I saw it was the appearance of fire and had brightness about it. I had asked a person about the matter of could you, as we today, we have divided or separated the light rays. We have a light now that is a black light that only will reveal certain other rays that's in its there. You wouldn't see any light anywhere else. We have light that are bright, some that are dim, depending on the rays or depending on the electricity there. I said, if you had a ray of light, like a black light that was invisible just by itself going up, and then you had a projection of another ray of light, when it connected with that, it would become visible. And that's what we do with the movie projector on a screen. Only the screen is not a ray of light. The screen that we have is solid in that. Now we have projection with the television and other things. We're getting closer to that particular part on them. And so as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud and the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the lightness, of the lightness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice of one that spake. So now, up from his memory, he has this background in which then the image could be upon it. And so question 10, this was the appearance of the likeness of the
glory.
All right, glory of the
Lord.
So we know this is God. Now this is not talking about Jesus, this is talking about the Heavenly Father on his throne. All right, now let's get the picture on this. Here you've got this living creature by the wheel. He comes, stands before Ezekiel. He turns the jets off. He lowers the wings. He has the hands of a man under the wings. He has the shape of a man. He has four faces, as we saw earlier. One face of a man on the each side of the firmament on there. You have one of have that of a lion, that of an ox, and then of an eagle on there. Above the firmament goes this projection. It was of different colors that would give you a solid screen and color that would be above the firmament. Then upon that firmament, you have there the picture or the likeness of a throne. And from that throne, God speaks to Ezekiel. He sees Ezekiel and can hear Ezekiel. Ezekiel sees and hears him. And when he talks, the first thing he says is Son of Man. And next week we're going to look at this and look at what God tells Ezekiel on this part. So all of this, God sends not an angel. He sends life from another planet of the heavenly host, which is called principalities and powers, for God to make a Zoom call to Ezekiel. That's exactly what we do today. Only we don't send somebody there. We have television or computer, not television, but a computer. We started out with television. With television, you could see in an image and talk to people, but they couldn't talk back to you. Finally, we got live television where that if they had a studio set up and a camera where it was, you could do that. Then we went to the computer. And there with the computer, we were able to send an image, see who we were talking to, and hear them. And then now today, we have this set up, not just with the computer, but with an iPad, with a cell phone. So I can take a cell phone and I've got people all over this world that talk to me on cell phone. I can see them, they can see me. Now they can take that cell phone and just put it above their heads like Ezekiel saw on this image that was on there, and would be able to see me, and I would see whoever was talking to. So you've got a more updated, advanced Zoom call than what we have today. But we're experiencing this. Now, before today, before these past 10 years, we wouldn't understand this. I was teaching this before we came out with the Skype and Zoom. And I could, the only thing that I wanted to say about it was Dick Tracy's phone, Rich Rod's, that he could see and talk to on that. But that was a comic book and science fiction. Well, it's no longer science fiction today. Now, 10 years ago, that's where it was. I interpreted this 10 years ago as a video. They just produced a video that spoke to Ezekiel. But when you study the scriptures, it not only spoke to Ezekiel, it answered Ezekiel. He could see Ezekiel. He could hear Ezekiel. That's more than what a video does. So it's a Zoom call or whatever else you want to term. Today, everybody knows what Zoom is involved with that. On that. Now, this is quite an experience. Today, when I talk about the ministry that God has given us and teaching other people in other parts, just as we've got today. Now, if you'll put us on the Zoom group that is there, down in the gallery, to have all of these people in different locations. They can see me, they can hear me, and I can see them and hear them. When I talk to people that have no experience with this, they have no clue what I'm talking about and what I deal with, even today. And that's quite amazing. And so in this, we have that part. All right, so we'll take some questions.